Thank you for joining us today on the At the Table podcast, where I strive to encourage and equip you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. This week on the At the Table podcast, we're going to look back at last week's message from Acts chapter 2, and we're going to examine how this looks in our life today. Without further ado, let's get started. Well, welcome to the At the Table podcast. This is Pastor Gary, and I'm just excited to be here today. It's a great day. Tomorrow, the day after I'm recording this, July 22nd, will be my 25th wedding anniversary with my lovely wife, and she's amazing in all things. And so, yeah, just want to give that quick shout out. But today, we're going to look back at Acts chapter 2, the sermon that I gave this past Sunday. It's from verses 37 through 47, a pretty common set of passage if you're into what the church looked like back in the day and all those things. But yeah, so we are going to look at that. But as I was thinking about this, I also remembered that this has implications today, doesn't it? And I was listening to the Pour Over podcast recently, and they talked about this idea of something that I've mentioned, how we respond and how we respond with what we believe is just as or possibly more important than what we believe. Now, I don't want to sound heretical or anything like that. Obviously, we're talking God's law, God's book, God's word, and that should be our primary means of obtaining what we believe, specifically as it pertains to the church. But as I was thinking about these verses from Acts chapter 2, I just want to read a couple of them again, or for the first time today, but as I was reading them last week, they just kind of stuck out to me this morning as I was looking at next week's message as we continue in Acts chapter 3 and that example that Peter and John give living this out, and it just kind of dawned on me. So starting in verse 37 of Acts chapter 2, we see this. It says, "When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?'" Now pause there for a second. What did they hear? Well, they heard the proclamation of Jesus Christ. They heard the declaration of who he was, what he did, what he stands for, and that he's alive even now today. And because of what he did, we can come to him and we can come to God and we can be saved from the ramifications, the consequences of sin that, we know the wages of sin are death and eternal separation. And so they ask, "What should we do?" They were cut to the heart. It said, Peter said, and he replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord God will call." Hashtag us. 40, verse 40 says, "With many other words, he warned them and pleaded with them, 'Save yourself from this corrupt generation.' Those who accepted this message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day." And as I was thinking about that, Sunday we continued on with verse 41 and then 42, and we talk about what this looked like for the church. And those were all important things, being devoted to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, spending time together, communion, prayer, all of those things. And what kind of kept coming back to me and kind of how I challenged the church this last week, Sunday, yesterday, the day before I was recording this, I challenged them that when we follow Christ, our lives change. That's the nutshell of it. When we follow Jesus, when we repent, when we turn from our way of doing things, the ways of this world that Peter said are corrupt, and we turn towards and run and pursue Jesus, our life is going to change because we receive the Holy Spirit and now we are able to combat sin. We're able to make better choices. It gives us the power, the very power of God, to do things for him. And as I was thinking about that, and this morning, and even as I was listening again to the Pour Over podcast, which, by the way, is a wonderful podcast that talks about up-to-date news and information, things that are happening in the world. It gives you a biblical perspective. It brings it all back to God's Word. And it's not about partisan politics, but rather it's about being followers of Jesus. And so I appreciate that. And it's kind of what drove me to today's verses. They made this comment on there that despite the world being so divisive, despite the world being so combative, willing to say things on social media you'd never say in person, keyboard warriors, sometimes we call that, because of that lack of connection and personal connection there, sometimes we say and do things we shouldn't do, and it gives us a bad witness. Because back to the book of Acts, when we realize that that book was written by the witnesses to Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, and his teaching, and they were the ones that took the message of the gospel to all the earth. And what the Bible's clear about is that that responsibility falls on all believers from that point forward. So if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have a responsibility. 2 Corinthians 5 tells us we're a new creation. We're now his ambassadors. We're given his message, his ministry. And our what we witness is we've witnessed God's word and the transformation of our life. And because of that, we point to Jesus. And so this kind of starts to then lead me into where the passage for today is. So James chapter 1. James, by the way, is one of my favorite books of the Bible, probably number one in my life of growth and following Jesus. It's just a powerful book that challenges you. But in James chapter 1, starting in verse 19, he says this, "My dear brothers, take note of this." In other words, recognize this. "Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to be angry. For a man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires." And so back to my original statement, how we respond is more or at least as important as what we are responding to, what we are responding with. And it's a direct reflection of the importance of who we are responding to. And then kind of piggybacking on that is, as 2 Corinthians 5 tells us, that we are an ambassador, a spokesperson for Jesus Christ. So therefore, how we respond reflects on him. Now, we can't, obviously, nothing we can do can ever diminish Jesus. Period, full stop. Nothing we do can diminish his power and what God is going to accomplish. However, because we live in a fallen, sinful world, how we respond, specifically remembering who we represent, can have an impact on those around us. And we, as followers of Jesus, and if we're really ascribing to what we're called to do, which is love others, obviously truth is incredibly important. I'm not saying don't say unpopular true things because they're unpopular, but what I'm saying is how you say them is incredibly important. One thing I've learned as I've watched several apologists on YouTube was, you know, the old phrase, "You can get more flies with honey than you can with vinegar," kind of rings true. Being able to decipher when somebody is truly wanting to have a good discussion and when they're just trying to start a fight is something that's incredibly important to do. And by responding in kind, compassionate, and loving, but truthful words, specifically speaking God's word, we can say a whole lot more than angry rhetoric, even if what we're saying may be accurate in the context of what we're discussing, i.e. politics. So many times, what we're saying has nowhere near the effect as how we say it. And so let me go back to the verses in James chapter 1. He says, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry." One thing I say to my kids fairly regularly is, you have two ears and you have one mouth. I think God was trying to tell you something. Yeah, right? And so you be quick to listen. I think so many times an area where I struggle, especially if I'm getting into a theological discussion or I have this incredible passion to share God's love with someone, is I want to get out what I have to say before I listen to what the real question is. Let me say it again. Sometimes I want to get out what I have to say, and what I have to say is more important than whom I'm talking to or what their legitimate question is. I've got to remember that questioning is not always a statement that you don't believe. Questioning merely might just be you don't know. How many out there have ever experienced a time when you genuinely didn't know what you believed about a certain topic? I mean, is it blue? Is it purple? That's the question around my house right now. I just got a car, a new to me used car, Chevy Cruze, and it looked very dark blue when I was looking at it initially, but in certain lights, it has this resemblance of purple. So now my kids give me a hard time and say, "It's purple, Dad." And I'm like, "No, it's blue." And it's a joke. It's a funny thing. But am I more concerned about being right, or maybe more concerned about not being proven wrong, than letting the love of Christ shine through me? Let me say it again. Am I more concerned with being right, or perhaps not proven wrong, than sharing the love of Christ? Now, hear me loud and clear. When it comes to politics, politics by their very nature, especially in the 21st century, is incredibly divisive. Our mass media is incredibly divisive because the reality is just like clickbait on Facebook gets you to click on something that sounds absurd. Mass media and our political system thrive on creating tension and creating dissension. But let me say this again, James chapter 1. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. Here it is for Christ followers, for man's anger does not bring about righteous life that God desires. I don't know about you, but very few times in my life when I've been genuinely, almost ragefully angry about something, relationships have been hurt. Progress that I made in any area has oftentimes gone back a few steps. I've come out the other end looking like a fool. And the bigger travesty that breaks my heart is someone else looked at Jesus differently because of the way I behaved. Now, it's not my responsibility per se with how someone takes what I said, in the sense that if they take something out of context, they're looking for a fight, they look at Jesus differently because of that. The chances are they were not really giving Jesus a legitimate shake anyhow. However, my responsibility, this starts with me, is that my responsibility is to be slow to anger, quick to listen, and seek the peaceful ground. And let me just say this, especially as it pertains to the church. Now, Paul writes about this in several places, that as far be it by us, we should be striving for unity. Now, again, this doesn't mean that we're going to agree on everything. It just means that we need to strive for unity in Christ, because serving Him, putting Christ first, is more important than me being right. And what He's asked me to do is more important than what I might receive out of any kind of discussion. So I don't know about you, but I hope this is kind of a refocusing. I hope this kind of drives us back to the point that I started at the beginning of the podcast episode, which was this: that as a follower of Jesus Christ, my responsibility and what I am striving to do is to follow Him. You know, Matthew 16:24, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Him. I'm commanded to follow Him. And in Acts chapter 2, we see how the church was seeking to follow Him and how this new spiritual fire was expanding and exploding, and how from 120 believers with the power of the Holy Spirit, just a couple decades later, a good portion of the Roman world was exposed, and even beyond that, was exposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. But when we follow Jesus, when the Holy Spirit is in our life, when we're seeking after Him, when we're denying ourselves, taking up our cross and following Him, changes are going to happen in our life. And maybe one of the biggest changes is that how we respond is going to be amplified. Who are we representing is amplified. And what we are trying to prove or what we're trying to prove is true will go down a notch. Again, it's not that we don't want to speak truth. Sometimes we have to have hard conversations and people's feelings may get hurt. But my prayer is that we're always coming at it from the perspective from James tells us to be slow to speak, quick to listen, and to avoid anger. Well, I hope this message has encouraged and equipped you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. If you're listening to us in the Apple Podcast app or YouTube or anywhere else, give us a like, give us a subscribe, share us with somebody else, share this with somebody else. I hope this message has equipped you and encouraged you on your journey. And until the next time, have a great day.
You have been listening to the At the Table podcast with Pastor Gary. I hope this episode has left you encouraged and equipped. Pastor Gary is the lead pastor of Grace Community Church in Alliance, Ohio. To learn more about the church, the ministries at the church, or to give to support Grace Community Church, you can follow the links in the show notes or go directly to gccofalliance.org. Have a blessed day.